Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Something a little bit wrong with that Social Geek song tonight, but it is Thursday night. And I think it was having some hiccups in there. So, hi, AK. This is Deb. How are you?
I'm good. I have a confession. When we played that song at the beginning of the show, it stuck in my head for the rest of the show, so I have a really hard time concentrating on everything else that's happening because I think it's still so catchy.
I like it. Now, do you shoulder dance with it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Bob your head. I do, too. And
yeah.
We've got to introduce you to Skylar because I really do.
Oh,
I
yeah.
see him every time I play the song. It's like I'm trying to picture him singing it, and I can't quite get that. So we're going to have to meet him. He's in New York, so we just have to meet him in New York,
yeah.
film him doing the live version of Social Geek. I think that should be our project before the end of the year.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, we can do that. So tonight we're going to talk all about blogging, aren't we?
Yeah. It's kind of, I've been trying to like bring the whole blogging topic back because I think it kind of, we talk about blogging being important and we mention mm-hmm. it here and there, but I think blogs were around before Facebook and Twitter. And I think when Facebook and Twitter got really popular and are still really popular, people thought, oh my gosh, I have to do that now, and then they abandoned their blogs because they didn't have time to do their blogs anymore. So I think it's really important just to remind people how important blogging is still to their online marketing.
You know, I agree. And then now today I was doing the Houston Franchise Business Network meeting. So we gathered in Houston for lunch and learn, and the topic was really franchise lead generation and the new normal for franchise prospects and for franchise development. But one of the gentlemen there, Steve Lowry, he's with Focal Point, and blogging came up as part of the conversation about social media really being the backbone for anything that you do in business and for lead generation. But he gave us statistics, and I think I remember them correctly, that once they started blogging for their business, their leads were coming from the various internet sites, I think it was like 14%. It jumped from 14% to 46%, and a lot of them came because of their blogs.
Oh, yeah, I totally believe it. And now with Pinterest, where you can pin your blog and give it that much more exposure, it's probably going to be more than that.
Now, so you mentioned Pinterest, and I've been trying to remember to do that too, is pin my blog or pin other folks' blogs. Are you seeing a lot of repins from those particular pins?
Yeah. When I pin my blog post, I typically get a couple of repins on my blog post, which makes me happy. And of course, I have my pin alerts set up on one of the Geek It Out sites I shared a way back, so that even if it's not a repin of mine, when somebody just pins one of my blog posts, like an email alert. So always when I get that, I go and I leave a little comment. I say, thank you so much for pinning my, I'm such a nerd. Thank you so much for pinning my blog post.
You know, I don't think I'm getting those pin alerts anymore, and I know people are pinning it. So I think I have to go back and pull that site up again and make sure that I'm still logged in or registered or whatever it is. So Pinterest, somehow we knew we'd end up talking about Pinterest as well.
You can't avoid it now.
No. And that was the conversation today. You can't avoid any of these topics. You can't avoid social media. You can't avoid Pinterest or Twitter or blogging. And I know when I go to various websites and I'm trying to do a little research on a franchisor or the company, I'm very, very disappointed that there's not a tab for a blog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I that still might be. I think there's a lot of people who are still hosting their blogs offsite, and mm-hmm. so they think that they have a blog that lives on, let's say, Tumblr or Blogger, or even WordPress, and they have the blog separate from their website, and they just never click to say, oh, I should also put the link to my blog or a button to my blog on my actual website itself, instead of them being two completely separate entities.
Right.
And that's a conversation that people always, you know, have in terms of which is preferable, having your blog live off-site and having a link to it on your actual website, or having your blog embedded in your site, like as an actual section. And if I'm a huge advocate, if you can work it out with your web host and have it on your site just to help with your overall site search engine optimization.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes, well, so moving right into blogging, what are some of the first tips and things that we should discuss about the how-tos and the whys?
I think it's really important when you're going to start a blog if you're literally starting from scratch, just to make sure that you really learn the platform. So whether you're doing it, like if you're doing it on WordPress and you're doing self-hosted WordPress and you're going to be doing it on your own, or whether you use Tumblr or one of the third-party sites, make sure you sort of understand everything that's available to you. So take some time and read the FAQs and learn all about, you know, making sure how you get the social share buttons to show up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing it yourself, you know, make sure you are going out and researching, and I'll share one during Geek It Out, but I really like, you know, the tools that you can use to make sure people can share your posts. Make sure that you figure out, you know, where you can add keywords or tags to your blog posts, and, you know, all of the little things that go into posts, instead of just saying, oh, I'm just going to go in and type a couple of words and hit publish, and I'm done. It's really important to really know how much control you do have over all of the intricacies of your blog.
So here's a question for you. So let's grab the one of the things you just mentioned, and you said keywords and tags, because mm-hmm. that's really, really confusing for a lot of people. So they've written their blog post, and they've got really good, strong content, and then they move over to publish the category and publish the tag. Should the keywords, or let's call it, they're usually called tags, right? Should the tags actually be words that they've pulled from their content in their blog, or other words that describe what their blog's talking about? Give us your definition of what the tags should be and how they should be used.
I always try, and from everything I've read, I try to use words that are in my blog post.
Mm-hmm.
So I will pull the words that I use most frequently, which are the words that I want that blog post to be found for, and I'll use those as tags. Now, sometimes I'll stick in a word or two that's sort of related to the content, but that might not have been mentioned necessarily in that form, just because it makes me feel better. I feel like mm-hmm. I'm telling the search engines what that blog post is about.
Right.
But all my research that I've done says that the search engine crawlers really want to see those words in the
right.
content of the blog post itself. So I think that's the best bet for your search engine optimization. And there's, like, for WordPress, all the WordPress plugins, I think there's WordPress, SEO, something or other. The plugin that I have, when I'm done writing a blog post, it actually pulls those words out for me. It'll tell me I've used the word Facebook 12 times, and I've used the word blogging 11 times. So it pulls those out, and I can just stick them in there using it by keywords. So if you can find tools like that, that will really help optimize too.
Right. So then when you read suggestions and they say, okay, your content really should be keyword rich. That's what we're talking about, is the tags. Do you find that sometimes, and I know it, when I first started blogging, I'd write a post and then I'd go to the tags and I'd say, my content isn't strong. I don't have the really strong keywords. So then I found that it was a good tool to have to go back and rewrite my content or tweak it so that it's keyword rich, and then it made sense, and I could pull the tags out.
Yeah, I mean, if one of your goals for writing a blog is to help your content and your website be found, you have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're almost sort of, I don't want to say wasting your time, but you're missing an opportunity.
Right.
Within your blog post if you don't try to optimize it for those words. Some people just blog because they already have fans and they just want to tell stories.
Right.
And they're not as concerned about the search engine optimization, and that's completely fine. That's wonderful. So again, it's just a matter of sort of what you're blogging for and what your goals are.
Mm-hmm. So I have another question for you, and I didn't have all these questions written down, but they're really coming to me. what are your suggestions for the number of keywords a post should have? Should there be a minimum and should there be a maximum? Or is it just depends on the content?
I think it depends on the content. I mean, the search engines, if you use some of these plugins, they'll give you recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them try to use no more than like 8 to 10, I think. I think I usually do maybe somewhere between 4 and 5. Simply
mm-hmm.
because I don't feel like I have optimized for more than 4 or 5 words. It'll probably depend on how long your content is. So I think you probably should have a pretty good feel for,
mm-hmm.
Sort of what you've written about. But I wouldn't go, picking out every single important word that you've only mentioned one time in a blog post and then making that a keyword.
And names, if you're mentioning, if you're mentioning names or websites, let's say you mentioned different websites within a blog post. How do you go about, is that the feature, the pinging feature that's in a blog? You know, how do you use that feature?
I will link to a website, so I wouldn't be putting that in the keywords.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will get a pingback notification, like if I reference their URL. So if I would highlight a word, like I said, go read Deb Evans' blog about such and such, and I hyperlink Deb Evans' blog and I put a URL to that blog, you would get a pingback notification saying I mentioned your site.
Now, would I get the notification just because you hyperlinked it in the content, or do you actually put the URL in the feature for that says pingbacks?
Nope, it would just be because I hyperlinked it.
Okay, so then how do you use that pingback feature? Because obviously I'm not real clear on that myself.
I never use it. I don't
okay, so you don't use it. Okay, and
no, uh-uh.
I don't, and I need to do some research to figure out, okay, why is it there? What's the real purpose? And am I missing an opportunity?
Yeah, no, I don't
okay.
know. I just gave you that whole spiel about learning your platform, and I never really looked into that feature.
Now you just told on yourself. So
I know.
But, and
be honest.
And that's fine, and because, and I thought I knew, because I've been using WordPress now for maybe, I don't know, 2 years. And just when I think I know it backwards and forwards, and as I'm helping Cindy Perkins with her great new blog, cindyperkins.com, I'm finding new features that I really did not know, or that there's been a little bit of a change within WordPress. So there's always something.
Yeah, WordPress updates so frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a matter of, like, I'm looking at one of my post pages now, and I have so much stuff extra that I've added for my, SEO settings and my keyword statistics, and there's just so much I look at when I'm, writing a blog post now. It becomes a whole chore.
Well, it is a chore. It's a chore I like. You have to think about your content. You have to think about your keywords. You have to think about your categories. Then you have to reread it. I do like within WordPress, and I'm starting to use it a little bit more often, is that to forward the blog post in the draft format to someone else to read and give me feedback.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my biggest problems is I will write up my blog post, and then it took me 3 hours to write that blog post, and then I don't want to read it again to edit it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are you serious? Yep. I just literally went over every single paragraph here, and my instinct is to just be like, oh, I'm just going to hit publish. And then I'll hit publish, and then for some reason I'll read it, because for some reason I feel like it's really hard to read in the WordPress editor. So I'll just hit publish. I'll be like, nobody's going to see it until I start sharing it. I guess except for the people who subscribe to my blog.
I was going to say, they subscribe via email, and they get that edition without the corrections.
Well, I feel like they get, that's true. Because I guess it shows up in the body of the email.
Yeah, of the email. Mm-hmm. I've learned that. Like, okay, don't do it that way.
I try to edit it after the fact. But I do, I keep talking about these WordPress plugins, but one of the plugins that I recently added that I really like actually does a grammar and a spell check for me. So I can hit publish, and then it'll say, hold up. You have errors in here. Do you want to continue or do you want to see them? And I'll say, yes, I want to see them. And it highlights all the spelling errors in red and all of the grammatical errors in green, and I can go back through, and that helps me edit it too.
Editing is important.
Yeah, I'm a huge WordPress plugin junkie.
And I'm going to have to go and check out some more of the plugins because I obviously don't have the amount.
I shared a blog post on my WordPress plugin.
I'll have to go back and look at that.
I don't know. I thought I should.
Oh, you should. I didn't see you. Now I'm looking at the chat because it looks like Greg's joined us tonight. Greg Goodson. Yay.
Hi, Greg.
And he's talking about pingbacks are cool because we get a message saying, yes, we have someone linking to us. Usually when we get a pingback, it's an opportunity for us to communicate with other bloggers and tell the other blogger linking back to us. Yes.
Yeah, sometimes when I get those notifications, mine appear on, the weirdest sites. Like, one of mine today was on some sort of, dentistry site. I'm like, why are you linking to my post? It made no sense at all. And even the word that it had hyperlinked to my post didn't make sense. And I'm like, did you, have your copy link saved for the wrong thing? Because I don't want to either. I'll be like, why are you linking to me? But then I was like, well, that's another backlink out to my blog. So I just shut up about it.
Yeah, that's okay. Just take it as a good thing.
Yep.
Okay. So, what about social sharing for the
You definitely want to make sure that you have those share buttons on there. I think by now pretty much everybody gets the idea that you should have at least the Facebook like and the Twitter tweet buttons and the Pinterest pin it button and the Google Plus One button. But placement of them is really important too. I've read a whole bunch of studies that suggest that if you put the buttons big, if you make them really big, and if you put them at the top, people are a lot more likely to share your content than if they're tiny and hidden at the bottom, simply because not always does everybody read your blog post all the way to the bottom. They might get halfway through, think you made some really good points, but, Facebook is tapping them on the shoulder again, and they're dying to get back to their news feed. So if they've liked what they've read so far, and the buttons are right there at the top of the page, so they might click it instead of having to search for them at the bottom.
I just read something like that today as well, and I was thinking about going and getting the plug-in that will put those social share buttons under the title, but I haven't played around with it yet.
Well, the one I really like, and I was going to share it to her and geek it out, but we could certainly talk about it now, is the dig.
Yes, that's the one I saw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I have on my blog, and that one you can format it to put it wherever you want. I put mine on the left, and I set it up such that when a reader moves down and scrolls down my page, the toolbar moves down as well, so it's always there on the left-hand side of the content. So anytime when they give up reading my post, they could quickly go over to the left and share it on any of the various sites. So I really like that feature.
I'll have to go back and look at that. I think I saw that on that blog post that I was reading earlier today, 50 Blogging Ideas to Steal.
Yeah, and I think one of the questions I get asked the most when I start talking about the share buttons is, you know, can you have too many? And I think as long as they are sort of all uniform and they're all, you know, nicely placed and they're not all over the place, they're all in one spot, you probably really can't have too many. Before I installed the Dig bar, I used to use Shareaholic, and that would go across the bottom, or it could go across the top, and it, you sort of would hover your cursor over top a little half icon, it would pop up. And I think in that toolbar, there was probably 8 or 9 of them that somebody could choose from. But it was fine. It was all in one neat little line. And I'm sort of an advocate of giving people the most options to share.
Because
you don't want to limit them.
Right.
Just let them share it. That's the whole point of all of this. So I think as long as they look nice, they're all in one spot, they're all uniform, you're using the same feature, you know, knock yourself out.
Very good point.
That's my two cents.
That's what?
Well, you know what? I had a question for you. I saw on your Facebook today, and I haven't gotten a chance to go to your blog yet, that you had a new platform and you
I used the wrong terms, I guess, it's because my blog was, it was still WordPress, but it was debevansce.com. And then that's the one I've carried for all these years. So then when I started my business in March, I didn't like that particular template. I wanted to change the template of the blog. And I decided that I wanted to change the name as well and make it Deb Evans Consulting. So instead of keeping that template, I decided to start a new WordPress with one of the paid themes so I could get some more functionality out of it and start with a whole new URL, DebEvansConsulting.com. So technically I have two blogs out there right now, but I have not been blogging on the Deb Evans CE. So I'd like to move everybody that's on that one over to Deb Evans Consulting, which is hard because, you know, I've got a lot of blog posts out there. Move them over. But when I read, I was looking at it, there's no reason I can't recycle some of my own ideas in my post and then blog with them on the DebEvansConsulting.com.
Yes.
So it's still under WordPress, and it still comes up as my manage my blogs that I have those two, but I'm going to focus on just one.
I got you. That reminds me, I have to subscribe to your new one because
I know.
I have to subscribe to your old one because remember, every time you publish something, I was the first person to hit like.
Well, yes, and that because I do have, you do have followers that will get it off of network blogs. They'll get it off. They'll see it on your Facebook. They'll see it on your LinkedIn. So I have some folks I know will see it from one of the platforms that I'm using. But what I really would like to see, and you can tell me if this is incorrect, but what I'd really like to see is some more subscriptions via email so that they don't miss it. So that if they're,
exactly.
I'd like to see it drop into the email box. Now, I did. I've always been leery of asking people to subscribe to my blog or to like it, but I did use the WordPress feature for invites, and then you can actually go to invites and then send them an email through your WordPress blog and say, you know, I have a new blog. Would you please think about subscribing? And that's generated a lot of subscriptions. So people, all that they do is have to hit accept because it drops in their email. They say, would you like to subscribe to Deb Evans' blog? She sent you an invite, and they can just say accept or deny. I haven't had anybody say deny. I've had some that it says it's still waiting, so they've not read the email. They've not subscribed, but that's helped.
Oh, that's cool. I'll have to look up that one. I haven't heard about it. Is it a plugin?
No, it is in WordPress. It falls under the bar of settings, then sharing, and then it says request invites. Again, because I was seeing Cindy and looking at her blog, I told her I have to show her how to do that, but it's a feature I didn't realize it was really there. And if I had realized it a few months ago, I may not have been as comfortable sending it, but I'm comfortable now. So it's like, oh, I'll just ask so-and-so to, you know, subscribe to my blog. And they are.
Yep. Like, you'll have to do a screener for me on that one because I am not seeing that in my settings.
Oh, I will do that. And
thank you. Thank you very much. Well, on that note, I do use a plugin for subscriptions, and our listeners can sound off on this. They can come to our Facebook page and tell me if they think this is annoying or not. I've been kind of wondering myself, but I had been seeing it on a lot of other people's blogs, so I thought I'd try it out. And what happens is at the end of any of my blog posts, a little box is there, and it says, "Thank you for reading. Perhaps you'd like to subscribe to this blog via email and not miss any, you know, important social media updates or something." Mm-hmm. And there's a link right there that they can click on it to subscribe. So I installed that, I guess, about a week ago, and I have gotten more sign-ups since then. So I guess some people like it.
I like it.
I just want to annoy people and be like, I'm begging for sign-ups, but, you know.
No, I wanted to check it out because I do, I think that's a good ending. And your social share buttons then are at the top. Well, you said they're on the left and they move. They're on the side, so they move. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm looking at Twitter. I had asked earlier anybody that had any suggestions on blogging to go ahead and tweet Social Geek Radio. So I do see that Susan Young, our friend in Texas, has said one of the things that people should remember is be relevant, be timely, and help people solve problems. And a lot of times I sit to write a blog post and I have to think about that. It's like, okay, I've got this idea, I got to throw it out there. And then I think, okay, who really cares? Is it relevant? Am I helping anybody, or am I have a story to tell and I want to tell it?
Yeah, that's kind of my problem too, where, especially for, you know, my topic of social media, a story will come out and I'll want to write about it and I'll be super busy and 3 days will pass and it's not relevant anymore because in social media land, it's old news if it's a day old. So one of the things I've kind of learned about blogging is if you have something relevant to talk about, drop everything and do it as soon as possible instead of waiting, because then 3 weeks goes by and I haven't written on my blog and I'm talking about blogging all the time, and people go to my blog, and they're like, why is she talking about blogging? Because she doesn't write on her blog. But I did have 2 blog posts last week. That was my first 2-post week in a long, long time, so I was very proud of myself.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to find the time. Now, what I usually do is if an idea comes to me and if I'm at my computer, I'll just go into WordPress, and I'll go into Drafts, and I'll type the title. It's like, okay, I'll remember that later. And then, so what do I have in my draft? I've got all these titles. That's my little notepad over there. It's like, okay, that one's a year old. I think that the whole idea is probably gone. Let's just delete that. Okay, so what are other blogging essentials that we should cover tonight?
I had mentioned this during Geek It Out a couple times before. But just thinking about, you know, what, again, this is the whole search engine optimization thing, I still think it's really crucial to think about. You know, you can use Google's keyword tool. Even if you don't have a blog idea pinned down necessarily, but you have sort of a general topic that you want to write about, you can use Google keywords tool to find out what people are searching for. And then you can blog about that. And maybe help your blog post show up in search. And I think it's really important just to kind of figure out when people are going, I'll use Google as my search engine, when people are going to Google to search and you want to be found, what is it that you envision them typing into the search that gets them to your website, or what you want them to be typing into search to get to your website? What do you want to be found for? You know, a lot of people, they sort of, you know, the old website that's ask.com now, that used to be Ask Jeeves. When people go to AskJeeves.com and literally type in an entire question. Well, that's sort of how everybody thinks that the search engines work these days because of the beauty behind the algorithm and the relevancy of the search results that pop up. So there's no reason to not go type in your whole long question into the Google search box. See if your question can be answered in a blog post or an article. So you really want to think about what are those questions that people are asking that you have the answers for, and then make the title of your blog post those questions. You know, line them up exactly like that. So kind of like you, what you were saying, you could really sit down and just think of all of these questions that you have the answers for that relate to your business. Write down all of those questions, and you may have just thought out 12 blog posts. So I think that's really, really important to think about, because a lot of people say, well, I don't know what to blog about. But you know what you do, and you know what you want to be found for, and you sort of just have to sort of back your way into it.
Very good. Here's a question for you. Let's say you've written, you're going to write that great blog post tomorrow about another one about blogging or features or whatever that might be. And I really, really like it. Now, I could ask you to be a guest blogger on my blog and repurpose it. But let's say, is it ethically good etiquette if I were to take your blog post, source that this is, you know, written by AK, and copy and paste your blog post? How do you do that? How do you work around that?
What I do is I wouldn't recommend, even if you're going to give credit, even if you're going to say at the bottom or the top, this is by AK Stout, or maybe even put a hyperlink, I don't think it's necessarily good format to put the entire post. I'll see people who might take a paragraph or two and then say continue reading, and the continue reading part will be hyperlinked.
Right.
I would like to see that more. And I also, I mean, if you're really going to sort of be out there and be friendly amongst the other bloggers, you know, go to somebody and say, hey, I loved your blog post. I would love to share it on my own blog. How would you prefer that I do that?
Because
you certainly don't want to make any blog enemies out there. A lot of them have a lot of power. You don't want to walk on their toes. My Geek It Out site that I do want to share for Geek It Out, because I want to talk a lot about it. It might be the only site helps with what you just asked.
So
remember that. We'll make it to that.
I will write it down. Okay. Good. Now, what about guests blogging? You know, I know of a lot of blogs that they have guests on a regular basis. So let's just take, you know, Jenny Dietrich's Spin Sucks. She often has a guest blogger. But is it, you know, I guess more publicized blogs, that makes sense. Unless I'm going to ask a guest blogger on a regular basis, would it make sense for me to ask somebody to come to my very little blog and write a post for me?
You could. I mean, you know, what I've learned from most people who are writing guest blog posts is they want to get something out of it. They also want to benefit from your readership. So a lot of guest bloggers will say, you know, how many page views do you get? You know, they'll go through and, you know, they'll want to know. So it doesn't hurt to ask. You know, it doesn't mean people will do it. If people do say yes, and you've done your research and you're finding somebody who you think would be really good, and they say yes, then that's awesome. That helps you out. I would caution people, though, when you're having guest bloggers come to your site, make sure that you either have the ability within your blog to give them separate logins where you can restrict their access to certain parts of your site. You know, make it so that they only have blog authorship rights, where they can't go in and delete your homepage or something crazy by accident. You know, we're not talking anything malicious here. But so there's a lot of platforms that will let you do that. You can basically assign people roles, they log in, because you don't absolutely don't want to be giving all of your guest bloggers your main administrative login credentials.
Right.
Or some people will say to me, you know, I really want to have guest bloggers, but you know, I'm not necessarily confident that what they'll post on my blog I'll be 100% on board with. So basically they don't want it to go live without them approving it. So what I've recommended to people is simply have your guest bloggers write up their blog post in a Word document and send it to you. You know, whatever your agreement's going to be with the people who are guest blogging for you, you know, let them know that it's your blog and you have edit rights. So you might go in and change around a couple of sentences here and there. You know, it kind of sounds a little harsh, but then again, it's your blog, it's your content. It's, even though it might be under their name for the post, it's sort of still your reputation on the line.
Right.
So things you really need to think about. But that way then you can control the category that you send it to, and you can make sure that you're doing the tagging appropriately and doing everything that you need to do with SEO, and your guest bloggers don't have to worry about that. They can literally just be helping you out with content.
That makes sense, because you, as the author, know your audience better than the guest blogger. So, but okay, I like that. And yeah, everything I read saying, you know, one of the steps or one of the key things you should do is consider as a guest blogger. And I'm just, I don't see that in my type of blog, but I certainly do in some of the, you know, the larger, more public blogs.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm so much of a control freak to really just control
I think
my
that's
blog just yet.
Part of the issue.
Yeah. I would be one of those people who say, okay, give it to me in a Word document, and I have liberty to change the entire thing if I want to.
And put your name to it.
Yeah, and just leave you out of this entirely. Just give you the words. Thanks.
Give you the credit. Okay. On
the flip side of things,
mm-hmm.
if maybe you really just can't work blogging into your own marketing plan, you know, you could go out there and find industry blogs to guest blog on yourself. You know, that way your name out there. Most people who let you guest blog for them will, you know, give you a little author bio, a link back to your website maybe. So that could be just a starting point. Maybe you're not real confident on the whole blogging scene. You're not really ready to dedicate that time. So just go out and, you know, find other little blogs that are sort of looking for people to share their insights. They might ask you to, you know, before they let you guest blog, they might ask for some samples of your work. So if you've never written anything before, you might have to write a couple of posts. But, you know, there's no harm in doing that also, or instead of for a little bit.
Yeah, and that goes for when you're submitting articles for publications as well. You know, they've got the right to refuse it or come back. I know Franchise Times and Franchise World I've written articles for, and it's very nervous. It's very nerve-wracking, but I love it. You know, they send it back and make a few suggestions, like, okay, I can do that, and then, you know, submit it back. So I guess it's the same thing, whether you're submitting articles or blog post.
Yeah. So it will help you be better at writing overall, and, you know, give people to give you an honest critique. So, you know, it's helpful to have that, because you may never get that. You might just be writing, and you think people love it, and they're just like, oh, my gosh, I hate the tone, you know, how that person writes. So it's good to get honest feedback. So if somebody's going to let you guest blog, they're probably going to be brutally honest with you.
Mm-hmm. So you've written a post, and it goes out to your social sites, and you have, you know, all the social share buttons on there, so somebody that comes to it, then they can retweet it or put it to Facebook or whatever. So you publish it at 7 a.m., it's published for the day. When and how many times should you remind your social sites that you've posted that blog? So you've posted it tomorrow at 7, do you post it to Twitter again? Do you post it to Facebook a second or third time and put it in LinkedIn? What are your suggestions there of making sure that you catch everybody in your stream to know that you've done a new post?
Oh, yeah, it's a great question. I will tell you exactly what I do. For Facebook, as soon as I publish it, if it's sort of during normal Facebook hours, I'll publish it.
Now explain what normal Facebook hours are to the audience.
Well, see, oftentimes if I get an idea for a blog post late at night, you know, I'll stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning writing a blog post.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to publish that to my Facebook personal profile at 1 a.m. because I probably have a lot less people online than people who are online during the day. So really, you know, any time between, like, you know, there's different studies on this. You know, people say you should do it, you know, 8 or 9 in the morning before people go to work, and then do it at 6 or 7 in the evening when they get home. But from everything I've seen on all the Facebook pages I manage, people are really checking Facebook during the day when they're at work.
Yep.
So I think you're not getting people who are getting their kids off to school or people who are cooking dinner when they get home from work and just want to veg out in front of the TV. I really think a lot of the traffic is during the day. So I typically post. I'll push out something that I think I really want eyes on, typically around like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, and then maybe again around like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I'll publish it once to my personal profile, and then I will publish it once to my Facebook business page. And then I'll put it out as my LinkedIn status. I will publish it to two of the LinkedIn groups that I personally moderate, and any relevant groups that I think would be interested. And then I push it out to StumbleUpon, to Dig, to BizSugar, and then I PDF it, and I put it up on SlideShare and Scribd. So I do all of that sort of immediately. And then I will tweet it, or no, actually, well, I'll put it up on Pinterest, and then I tweet it. So that all happens in one fell swoop. And then the only one that I will go back and repeat is on Twitter. And I might do a tweet in the morning, and then I won't tweet the exact same thing. I'll pull, like, a quote from it,
mm-hmm.
and I'll tweet it out later in the afternoon. And I will tweet it out a couple more times throughout the next week or so. But that is, I won't post it back on Facebook again. I won't post it back on Pinterest again. So really the only one I do over is Twitter.
Now, you mentioned, did you say that you post your blog post to SlideShare?
Yep.
Okay, so explain to us how you do that.
I will put my blog post in a Word document after I get
mm-hmm.
it. So even if, and if it has an image, I'll bring the image over as well. So I'll put it in a Word document, and then I will PDF it, and then I can upload it to SlideShare.
So most people think of SlideShare as sharing PowerPoint presentations, but your SlideShare has single PDF documents.
Yep. So usually my blog post
mm-hmm.
turns out to be like one or two pages,
mm-hmm.
and it'll render the regular PDF. So it's just another way to potentially, you know, because then I can make sure I go in and I put the title in there and I do my keywords for SlideShare and I write my description for SlideShare. So when people are searching there, it's not just my, you know, my PowerPoint presentations that they could find. It's also now the extra content as well.
And I just noticed that you've been doing that. And I think that's a fabulous idea. I don't know how many people do that. It's not something that I don't check SlideShare often, but it does come up in searches. So it makes perfect sense to do that.
Yeah, and it comes up really nicely, you know, because if you integrate your SlideShare with your LinkedIn,
yeah.
you know, you can pull your WordPress or
right.
your blog into your profile, but then, you know, these just show up
mm-hmm.
a little bit nicer in the SlideShare format. So it's another
mm-hmm.
way that it can show up there also.
Very good. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at your SlideShare and thinking, now, should I go back and do a couple of my blog posts and, you know, spread it out a little bit? But I think that's it's genius. Very good.
Well, you know, what's nice about that, too, is if you would go them now and put them in the SlideShare, if you pin them on Pinterest, it puts the little play button over them, sort of as if you had uploaded a YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of has its own sort of call to action behind it, because when you see a pin on Pinterest that has a little black circle and a little white play button, it sort of screams out at you that you need to click it to play it to see what's behind there. So oftentimes I will put something into SlideShare and share it to Pinterest from there because I know it does that, as opposed to like pinning it right from my blog or something. Little tip.
Ooh, yes, a very good tip. I have to remember that. I'm going to be playing with that tomorrow. Okay, I like that. Trying to remember. I think I had a bunch of questions for you.
I don't think there's anything that I typically mention during my blogging presentation.
Now what about, and I know you've used this, and I've not used this feature, the click to tweet.
Yes.
That
will lead us into tweet out because I have it for that. Sorry, I had a drink because I was losing my voice. I really like Click2Tweet. It's Click2Tweet.com, and you can essentially type your 140 characters, and then you click a button that says Generate Link, and it generates a URL. If you publish that URL and somebody clicks on it, it opens up their Twitter, and it takes that 140 characters, and it puts it in their status box, and all they have to do is hit Submit. So what I think is a brilliant idea to use inside of a blog post, and I don't do it often. I did it on my on that one PowerPoint presentation.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, I haven't done it in a blog post in a while. But if you, especially if you write a blog post where you're doing a list of things or a list of ideas, bullet points, if you're using numbers, what have you, what you could do is in the midst of your blog post, right in the text, if you have something that would be a really good idea for somebody to tweet, let's say it's tweet-worthy, what you could do is highlight that text, if it's less than 140 characters, put it into Click2Tweet, generate a link to it, and then right there within the context of your blog, put tweet this. You know, you could put it in parentheses, just put tweet this, and then hyperlink it with that URL you just created. And so as people are reading your blog post, you're basically highlighting the good ideas and essentially calling them to tweet those ideas out to their networks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's making them really easy for people to share your ideas.
I love that because you used it on that slide share, that PowerPoint. I think that was great. And I have a presentation I have to do in September, and I want to use the tweet this button.
Yes.
I think I'm going to, I'll really have to think about it when I'm writing a blog post, though. I think that's going to take some concentration to make sure that it reads correctly, or that my audience that reads the blog post will understand why that's there.
They
tweet
it? Put it at like the end of a sentence or the end of a paragraph or something, and just to tweet this. One thing to think about also is when somebody does tweet it, they're tweeting your 140 characters exactly as you put them in. So if you did not put a link back to your blog post in that tweet, when they tweet it out, it's a nice quote, but it's not giving you any credit.
Right.
So what you might want to do is get the link to your blog post first, make it a tiny URL, whether you use Google URL shortener or Bitly URL shortener, and actually put that little URL back to your blog post within that 140 characters that's hidden behind that click to tweet link, so that when somebody clicks to tweet it now, your URL to your blog post goes over with that, and your credit now for that quote has your link back to your blog post.
Right. Very good. You know what? I'm now just watching the time, too. We're coming up to Geek It Out, but I think there's a question in the chat that we need to cover.
I see the question. Yeah. The question is, what is the tool used to distribute the blog post to all those destinations mentioned, or is that done manually? And the answer to your question is that I do that all manually. And it's another reason why I don't blog as often as I should, because I sort of created those tasks in my head for when I'm done a blog post to PDF it and then send it to StumbleUpon and send it here and send it there. But I sort of, one thing that helps is I use the Shareaholic Chrome plugin so that I have the blog post up on my screen and I put all of the sites that I want to share to within that drop down. So I click on my Shareaholic plugin button and then I can go boom, dig, boom, stumble upon
right
by going down and clicking because I put them in there.
I did,
however, recently read about a site, but I haven't tried yet because it starts at $10 a month and I don't really like to pay for things online. But it's called onlywire.com, and it says that it will, with a click of a button when you write a blog post, you can send it out to like 47 different social media sites. So, again, I don't know anything about it. I'm not necessarily advocating for it because I haven't tried it. It just showed up in a blog post that I was reading that somebody else recommended.
It's pricey. $10 a month is pricey.
Right. So, but that one is the most recent one I've heard about that was sort of, besides, I don't think any of them would you know, be able to submit your stuff for like SlideShare and Scrag for you. But I think everything else it would probably do.
I think the
do.
Best tip you gave was for the SlideShare. I love that. And I totally forgot about Biz Sugar. I have a subscription to that, and I haven't forgot about that site. So,
yeah, Biz Sugar. Apparently a lot of people go there with other content publishers to read material, because I don't always publish, I don't always remember to do Biz Sugar, but when I do, my article will typically get picked up by one or two people that they'll link to it within their blog post. That's how I got picked up for the Small Business Trends blog post that one time.
Mm-hmm.
It was found on Biz Sugar, so I'm trying to really work that back into my routine.
Yeah, I have to remember. Anything else you want to add that we probably should do two episodes of why blogging is essential.
Yeah, blogging is definitely critical. Well, one of the things, you know, I did a presentation on blogging for Maryland Association of Nonprofits and all of the local nonprofits, and they gave me, I was on a panel, so my presentation part was 10 minutes, and then we're going to open it up for audience questions. And so I'm like, okay, I know, I sort of work with a couple of local nonprofits to sort of give them some pointers, so I've heard their objections when it comes to blogging. So I had to sort of have that to work with. So I was like, I know I have 10 minutes to get up there and, you know, convince these people how important it is and why they need to stop being afraid of it. And I really think I was able to do it sort of in the first minute and a half, because I led with the fact that, you know, 99% of the people who have an internet connection and use the internet search, whether they use Bing or Yahoo or AOL, or if that's even still around, or Google, they search. They're on the internet to look for information, while only 65% of people are using social networking sites. So if you're writing a blog, those 99% of all internet users could find your blog. But if you're only using Facebook or you're only using Twitter, you know, you're missing, you know, 34% of people who aren't using, you know, who might not be using the social networking sites. So really to close that gap and make sure that you're giving yourself the best chance possible for people to engage with you and read your content and hear your stories is to have a blog on your site. And that's that.
And I believe that. We take your word for that. And because you said so. I love that commercial about the internet. You know, it's because I read it on the internet. Mine is because AK said so. You know, I take everything she says. So let's go ahead and you have some Geek It Out sites to share. Let's just play a little bit of Skylar's song, because there's some that joined the chat and hadn't heard it yet.
It's a very geeky show.
Okay, but it was breaking up. At least it was breaking up for me. So I'm going to turn it off, and let's do the Geek It Out sites.
Okay, well, this one, and this might take the rest of the time because there's a lot of features in it that I want to make sure everybody knows about. It's called Tynt. It's TYNT.com. TYNT.com. And let me put that in our chat room here. Okay, so this does a number of things. The most important thing that you need to know is that it's free. It does all of these wonderful things, and there's no pro version. There's nothing fancy that you're missing out on if you're not paying them. It's all completely free. So what you do is you sign up for an account. You put in the URL of your site, and it gives you a code. And you take that code and you can put it into your header file in your website. If you use WordPress, there's actually a WordPress plugin called EasyTint that you can hook up to. And you get the code that the website gives you, and you simply put that HTML code into your plugin, and it hooks it all up for you. So once you've set it up, what it does is if somebody goes to your website or your blog, and they find that you've said something really great, and they want to copy it and paste it into a tweet, or they want to copy something and paste it onto their own blog or Facebook or what have you, when they copy it and paste it along with what they paste. And you've probably seen this happen if you've copied and pasted from other sites, is it'll leave a space and then it'll say read more and it will put in your URL.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody was going to just copy the information and not necessarily put your URL, or maybe they were, it just puts it there. So, of course, they could delete it, but it's probably less likely that they're going to delete it once it's sort of just there and they're like, okay, I'll just hit publish. So that's nice that it gives you that extra opportunity to receive credit back to your site because it's done automatically. Even if they delete it and they still paste the content, the code behind the site is pulling in analytics. So you have your dashboard that lives on Tint, and it's telling you that that text was copied, and it's telling you where it was pasted. So it's telling you that this paragraph was copied and somebody shared it on Facebook. So that's, you know, incredibly strong information that you can't get from Google Analytics, because Google Analytics has no way to track that, but this Tint code is tracking that. So even if they didn't give you the credit, even if there was no ping back, if they put it onto their blog, that code is helping you keep track of all that. So it's going to track the content that is copied. It's also going to do keywords. So keywords that people have used to get to your site are going to be tracked within Tint. Also, and I think this is super cool, if somebody's reading a blog post on your site and they find a keyword or something that they want to get more information about elsewhere, or they want to get more information about, but let's say they'd like to stay on your site, but they can't. They can't find any other information. So now they copy a word and they're going to paste it into Google search. And they search off of your site. Tint actually picks up that word since it's tracking everything that's copied, and it marks that as an outbound keyword. So what it's basically telling you is somebody copied Facebook marketing and they searched for it somewhere else. So that might tell you, hey, maybe you should put more content on your site related to these keywords that people are searching for off of your site to keep those people on your site. So that's really cool as well. Something else they have, and you'll see it on the homepage of Tint, it's called Speed Share, I think. Somewhere around here. Somewhere on the site is called Speed Share. If you take that code that they give you for the Speed Share and you put it underneath of the code that it gives you originally, anytime somebody copies text from your site, Facebook and Twitter automatically pop up in a little teeny box right there and basically ask them if they want to post it to Facebook or post it to Twitter. So it gives them an extra opportunity to share your information. So there's a lot more things and a lot more detail around it, but it's really powerful. It's free.
And it's free. I mean, they offer so much here.
Yeah. So it's totally worth it. You can use the WordPress plugin, or if you have access to the files for your site, simply put the code into your header tag.
This looks like it's going to take me a while to wrap my head around all of the capabilities.
Well, let me know if you have any questions.
I think I will. Very good. Wow, that's a lot. And it looks like we're coming up to the end of our show. So let me look at the – yep, there she goes. She can tell us we're coming to the end. So I don't see any questions in the chat, but I have some strong key takeaways. I need to do the screener so that I can show you where I found the sharing invite. I stumbled upon that. That's really cool. But I can't wait to start recycling my blog post and put it in and add it to my share. SlideShare, because we both have a lot of followers on SlideShare, and there's a whole audience that I can tap into.
That's right.
Good. Okay. Well, thank you, AK. Lots of good stuff. All right. And thank you, guests that are listening. And don't forget to, if you got any tips, go to our Facebook page and add them there.
Yes. All right. We'll talk to everybody next week.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Don't show me. social media.